It's This Is Going Well, I Think, with David Cooper. I am David Cooper. Happy, happy, happy Friday. We're zooming on into the end of the week, popularly referred to as the weekend. And boy, do I have a show for you today. I'm really excited about my comedian friend Natasha Vinnick, because she just got accepted into the Netflix Is a Joke Festival, which I believe is the heir apparent to the Just for Laughs fortune after Just for Laughs folded. We'll find out more about that coming up. And after Natasha, it's Therapy Thursdays on a Friday. And you're not going to want to miss this interview, because I will confess how long it had been before I went to the dentist recently and got drilled. That is, I got a cavity filled after a drilling. I didn't have sex with my dentist. Never mind. From that, a conversation about the vicious cycle we can get into about not taking care of ourselves. That's a great therapy topic, right? And difficult conversations. That'll be with Gary Dierenfeld. So welcome in. Thanks for listening. Let's kick off a few offbeat stories of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your shopping carts, even your extra size shopping carts, because this just in, Costco. The place where you thought you were going to buy a lifetime supply of toilet paper, maybe a rotisserie chicken, and 4,700 tubes of toothpaste is now selling gold bars. Yes, you heard that right. Gold bars. That's like finding a fitted designer suit at a thrift store. But actually, you find that suit in a warehouse next to a giant tub of peanut butter. Since October, alongside their famous $1.50 hot dog combo, Costco has been dishing out 1 ounce 24-karat bars. And they've been flying off the shelves faster than hot dogs at lunchtime, selling up to $200 million of these things a month. Imagine you could go in for some new socks and come out feeling like, I don't know, a pirate? But here's the even stranger part. These gold bars are as elusive as a quiet moment in a Greek restaurant. They sell out within hours of listing. The CFO of Costco says when they restock these things, whether online or in stores, they're gone almost immediately. And the timing's kind of interesting. People do buy gold in times of economic turmoil. And you might be thinking, are these people buying gold the Costco idiots? Well, gold prices are at an all-time high. When you adjust for inflation, maybe not an all-time high, but gold prices are soaring. And while these numbers seem ridiculous, Costco is not exactly striking it rich when it comes to their scheme. With all the costs considered, how much it costs them to purchase the gold, it's actually a pretty low profit hustle for them. And while they're selling $100 to $200 million a month, in the grand scheme of Costco's empire, it's a tiny drop in a large bucket. So next time you're at Costco trying to score a deal, remember, amidst the sea of bulk toilet paper and oversized ketchup bottles, you may just strike gold. There may be a gold bar with your name on it. That is, if you're lucky enough to catch it. And if not, hey, there's always the hot dogs. And if you do pick up a piece of gold there and you don't feel like a smart investor, at least you'll feel like a pirate. I may have promised you more than one offbeat story when I said offbeat stories, but it was a slow news day, so let's mosey on to our interview portion of the show. Coming up momentarily, it's San Francisco-based comedian Natasha Vinnick, or as they say in Canada, Natasha Vinnick, who usually comes on the show to talk about her dating life. And last I caught up with her, she was all set to launch a podcast called 30 Dates in 30 Days. The premise, simple. She was going to go on 30 dates with 30 guys in 30 days and put out 30 podcasts. Well, I think that was a flop, so we'll find out why it was a flop. Because fascinatingly, most podcasts don't make it past, what, 3 episodes? But more importantly, during this quest, she found love. She found a man who she was doe-eyed for, and things went south. So she's got 117 reasons why she hates this guy, and we're going to hear all of them in hilariously specific detail. So Natasha Vinnick coming up in a moment. And we are here with Natasha Vinnick, comedian extraordinaire. Natasha, always a pleasure to have you.
David, a pleasure to be here. It's been so long.
Before I started rolling, you told me you have no job, no love, no prospects, no podcast, nothing going on at all. And you hate yourself. You only said some of that. But you're getting a spot in Netflix as a joke. Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, I am. I am. I'll be on their festival. I'm pretty excited.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I had the audition in January. I was very nervous and terrified, and it went great.
I think you're, I've seen enough of you on stage, which is like admittedly maybe 10 times many years ago, But I think excited and nervous is good energy for you. You come off as affable when you're excited and nervous.
I come off as affable, a little edgy, a little on edge, a little anxious. I think I come off that way on stage too.
See, I default to being mean to the audience when I know I'm doing a bad job and I'm nervous. It's a vicious cycle. That's why I don't do stand-up.
I wish I could do that. I love an audience. I'm so impressed when people are able to just be mean to the audience.
Last I spoke to you, October, you were very guarded about sharing things to do with a podcast that you were to mm-hmm. release every day for a month, mm-hmm. or you were just going to go on 30 days, 30 dates. Okay, let's take a step back. The podcast is called okay. 30 Dates in yeah. 30 Days. The idea was take 30 dates in 30 yeah. days, record maybe 30 podcasts.
Yeah.
And like most podcasts, yeah. it had a failed uh-huh. start. There's something obscene, like I think 80% of podcasts don't make it past the third episode. Isn't that wild?
Whoa, that's wild. We've made it way past. I mean, we recorded all of the episodes. They are all recorded. They are all on my hard drive.
Editing's a
bitch. And only about half of them are online. Once we started putting it up, my partner, my co-host, she was like, I hate how I sound. I sound like a monster. We need to take all of these down. Yeah, it was so bad. She's like, we need to cut out any time that I speak negatively about a guy. And I'm like, this is a dating
podcast. That's the whole show.
I know.
It's not the like, same nice things about random men podcast.
No one wants to hear that. She's like, remove any time I talk about sex, remove any time I talk about drugs, remove any time I talk about my parents. And I'm like, this is just, you're minimizing the podcast, like literal logistics. I met him at a cafe at 4 and then I left at 5. Like, what else? That's crazy, you know?
I mean, if you're really into how to balance a calendar properly.
Yeah, very interesting stuff.
It's a niche. How to optimize where and when to meet with 30 guys. Yeah, it's a niche audience at that point. That's what she went into this saying all the stuff on the podcast and then had a change of heart.
Yes. So much stuff. She likes talking. She's talking the majority of each episode and I just have to cut like everything out. And then there's a point where she was just like, we can't keep doing this. And she would, without warning, take out all of the content off the internet, like make all of our socials private on our podcast, like all of this.
It's a great way to get grow a listenership, make it private and take it down. See,
it's true.
The second strategy is put out content like me, which is also a great way to isolate your audience. But your way is even worse.
Yeah, it's really, it was really rough. We're still friends and stuff, but it was rough. It was definitely like one of the roughest working relationships I've had.
It's unfair. I mean, is she at least apologize or is she doesn't agree?
Like
that it's
a little bit, but it's like, I'm the one who did all of the editing for every episode. I did all of the video. I made all the clips. Like it was so much work to have it all just for nothing is really upsetting. And I hate not finishing a project. It really upsets me.
Well, it's not your fault.
I know it's not. I know it's not. But once in a while I get pings from people who are like, we want more episodes. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. No new apps. So no one will ever know what happens.
Who does that? Who agrees to talk about their love life on tape? And then once it happens, now that I kind of comes out of my mouth, I see how someone could have a change of heart.
No, I don't. I can't see it. I still can't see it. I have to remember she's like, I don't want to say 10 years younger, but almost. And I think she's just not used to having her life out there as much.
She's 14 years old.
She's 14 years old and she's not used to having her parents didn't sign the permission slip that she can.
Why were her parents listening to this?
I don't know, but they were. And like, she'd get calls from her mom where her mom would be like, you sound like an idiot. And I'm like, oh, no wonder you're all messed up. And
I mean, she should have recorded those calls and then put it out as a podcast. That's what I would have done.
I am so with you.
Wild. How to fail a podcast. Mm.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm really cloggy in my voice.
No.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, it was really disappointing.
Sounds disappointing. I mean, that's
devastating. It really put me in a depresso hole, actually, after doing so much work for nothing. It really.
And it was good work. It was a good show. I listened to, the first episode. But you guys did a good job. And
that's
you sounded great. You picked good audio equipment, which to me
Thanks
is the most
to
important.
You.
Yeah,
thanks to
welcome.
You. It's all, I appreciate it.
There wasn't like a, you know, when you listen to big budget podcasts and at the end, there's like a, this was produced by so-and-so and courtesy was provided by, I didn't get a tag at the end that the.
Wow, we didn't give you any thank you.
Audio equipment so consultant. Right. I'm putting that on my resume.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put it on if we ever release another episode. I'll pop it at the end for sure.
Is that to give yourself to a creative project? You are an artist.
Yes.
Whether you will take that label or not, you are to me. To give yourself to a creative project and then have something out of your control like that, something that you thought was handled.
It's awful. So devastating.
So what happened? There was all these things you couldn't talk about when we last met. What happened during the 30 dates and 30 days project? Private experiment. Private podcast.
Yeah. The private podcast, I did end up getting into a relationship with one of the gentlemen. It moved very, very fast. And then it went away just as quickly. He was terrible. I don't like him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it weird
to
know that you said on tape how much you liked him and why? Only to...
No. What did I say to you? Did I tell you how much I liked him? Did I say really nice things about him?
You said it to me privately, but you wouldn't say it on tape because you're like, it's coming in the podcast.
It's coming in the podcast. Now there's nothing. Apparently he's dating a girl who looks just like me. I love when they do that. Do you like when they do that?
Is she a higher budget you or a lower budget you?
A lower budget for sure. Lower budget.
It hurts when they date a higher budget version of you.
Yeah, absolutely. It hurts when they date higher budget at all, anyway. You're kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Something about replacement me feels flattering. Like, okay, you needed more. You couldn't get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my close friend had a drink or whatever with my ex-wife and her now husband. And he's like, you know what? And he's a nice guy. I've met him. He doesn't like me, but I like him. Which is honestly for the best. My friend sits me down and he said, you know, I met your ex-wife's new husband and he's just such a funny, nice Jewish boy. To which I responded, he's not even a Jew! Fake Jews! She couldn't handle the truth! She went for like a Jewy affectation Gentile.
That's so funny. So just like a New Yorker?
I don't know enough about him, but yeah, he's from one of the, it could be Miami, could be New York, could be, but yeah, something
that's
like that.
Funny.
I mean, I think that's how he comes off. I don't know him well. I would not say that my ex-wife and her husband go out all the time.
Yeah. I think that, no one could ever replace you, David.
Thank you. What happened in 90 seconds or less?
90 seconds or less.
Well, we're going to take a break and come back.
Okay. Yeah. This is like a fun little, not what happened, but a quick little teaser. He took my vibrators in the breakup.
He stole your vibrators?
He stole my vibrators.
Here you are. Some guys are weird about vibrators, you know? They're like, oh, you can't use your vibrator. It's cheating on me. Here you find a guy who's like, yeah, vibrators are great. They're so great, I'm going to steal them.
I'm going to take them and they'll be mine now.
Like, because he liked using them or he just was a, I don't know what the word is, was a jerk.
No. Yeah, I think he was a jerk.
You think he's using them with the budget you?
Yeah, I do.
Gross.
He's like, she loved it, so you will.
Were they vibrators you bought together or are there ones that
Yes. No. No, mine. They were my own vibrators I got before him. Happened to bring over to his place because we stayed at his house all the time because he wanted that. And then in the breakup, he was like, oh, what vibrators? And I'm like, okay.
Stole your vibrators.
All right, sir. He stole my vibrators.
I love it. We'll be back with comedian Natasha Vinnick, who's going to be in the Netflix is a joke festival, but also has nothing else going on in life is terrible. Natasha Vinnick, comedian who lives in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Last year, had an ambitious podcast that was going to launch, kind of did, called 30 Dates in 30 Days. The premise, simple. You go on 30 dates in 30 days. You put out 30 podcasts. You had a co-host looking for love or looking to shame men who are jerks. maybe a bit of both. The podcast failed, like most podcasts. Don't feel too bad about that.
I feel really bad.
It
yeah,
is
I still
not feel bad. Your fault. We established that.
It's not. I worked so hard on it.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
I saw some of your little clips where you're like, oh, this happened. And then your co-host was like, oh, that happened. Boom. And you got the pop, bang, bang, bang. You looked great.
Yeah,
you,
a good time.
You were smiling.
You.
You were laughing. You sounded great. Side note, I help you pick the audio equipment. You sounded
great. Which is very important. Thanks to you.
Honestly, this is my project that failed. I'm starting to realize.
Yeah, it's very father vibes. You're like, I was sort of involved almost at the start.
I mean, if it were like a TV show, you would have said like, you know, I get a little.
I know.
On the
maybe
last,
all the credits.
Last
maybe
page
credits.
Of credits, I'd be at the very bottom in like
yeah.
The tiniest font. I would be there.
You'd be there.
You found love throughout this. You found a man. You achieved what you sought to do.
And, I did.
And when we last spoke, he was a good man. You were happy with this man.
I was, and I'm not. I'm not anymore. I have a long list of reasons why, too. Do you want to?
Well, give me some of the, go back to when you were doe-eyed. When you either were ignoring the red flags, or he was hiding the red flags, or maybe you weren't sure if there were red flags.
Yeah, yeah. There were little, like, pins I put in things.
Yeah,
you know?
you gotta pin it, you know? Like, yes, I found a human skull in his floorboards, but it might have been there before he moved in. But
yeah, it could be like a Shakespeare thing.
Exactly. Actually, I just saw an episode of Frasier that involves something like that. Not important. I'm Dr. Frasier. Yeah, I guess it is very important. What did you like about him at first? Quickly, before we get to the 45 things you hated about him.
He was like a handsome boy.
See, you were tricked by the looks.
I was, and it was nice that he was kind of down for whatever I'd like pitch and do, and
down for anything and handsome. I mean, he sounds perfect so far. I don't want to do anything ever, and I'm ugly, so like I'm never gonna have this problem where somebody falls for me. Well, period, but also based on my looks and downness, and only to find out they'll know that I'm a jerk right away. So I'm very comforted by this narrative. But enough about me. He was down to do anything.
He wanted to see me all the time. He really liked me. He like moved things fast, which is like kind of.
So you liked that he liked you.
Yeah, and like a lot and quickly. I love that because I'm all messed up. So I'm like, oh yeah, it makes sense that someone would want to move this fast. This is totally reasonable. You know what I mean?
Did he ask you lots of questions?
He wasn't the best, but he wasn't the worst. He'd ask a decent amount of questions.
I know that's like number one for you. Ask
it
questions.
He wasn't big on it. I don't know. I think I was just like surprised that he wanted to continue dating me at all, especially after each date I'd be like, this guy wants to see me again, that's kooky. but he's kind of a boring like ayahuasca guy who just like does a lot of drugs and thinks he can ayahuasca himself out of ever needing therapy, you know?
So he's just, his third eye is always open because of DMT and ayahuasca.
So open, yeah. Too open.
It's too open. He knows too much about the universe.
Yeah, for sure he thinks he does, yeah.
He's communed with the spirits that only a drug trip can provide one too many times.
Exactly.
Would you describe him as kind of fried then, or he's not quite so far gone?
I don't think he's like fried, but I think he's just kind of, I don't know. I think some people get into those drugs because there's just dull, they're dull people. There's like not much to them. You know what I mean? And
interesting.
I feel like, I don't think there was ever like much to him as an interesting person. So I think he just like does a lot of drugs to try to commune with something or feel something spiritual or.
In my experience with drugs, and admittedly it wasn't ayahuasca and stuff, it introduced a lot of dysfunction into my life.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I became interesting because like I'm divorced, I've got a drug problem, you know, like I'm a boring guy. And then I was doing different sorts of drugs than like, you know.
I don't think you've ever been a boring guy. I just don't really believe that about you.
Thank you, Natasha.
Yeah.
I will take the compliment, even though my gut reaction is, you don't know me. You do know me
a little bit.
You know me. I would say we're friends.
I also would say that.
I know we're not good friends, but you're a level of friend where I just say like, yeah, that's my good friend. And Miranda's like, that is not your good friend.
Whoa. Why can't she let us be good friends?
Okay, well, thank you. You're my good friend. I think
we're good friends.
Okay, I'm happy now. Okay, you just didn't know me when I was like living in Canada and just kind of boring. You know, you didn't know me. Yeah, then. It's fine.
You're right. I didn't.
I didn't always have a drinking problem. Not important. Somehow this became about me, and that's fine. It's my favorite topic, but a topic I like even more than that is the 45 things you hate about this guy.
Oh man, I got a list.
Is it on paper?
No, it's in my phone. Yeah, as soon as the breakup happened, I'm like, I have to make a list. Because you know how sometimes during breakups, you can kind of like forget the bad things and only remember the good things and get weird and put the person on a pedestal over time, even though they weren't great.
Or you can feel like you're crazy, like, oh, they want to reconcile and this thing that was real during the breakup, they're pretending like it's not real or that it's just going to go away.
Not me. Look at this
list.
Oh,
my God. You've got seven. You've got more than five. I was saying 45 things on the list as a joke. That was more than 45 things.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Do you want to rapid fire through them?
Yeah, desperately. Desperately. All right. He was mean to me about making decisions because I have a hard time making decisions, and he was being really mean about it. He'd like push me into making a decision. He'd be like, should we do this or that? I'm like, okay, how about we do gift giving this year? And he's like, do you want to do gift giving? I'm like, sure. And he's like, well, then what day should we do it? I'm like, I don't know. We can do it Christmas Day.
But he's putting the decision making on you.
Over and over again. He's like, well, which day, Christmas Day or Christmas Eve? And I'm like, I don't care. He's like, just pick one. And I'm like, Christmas Day. And he's like, see, that wasn't so hard. And I'm like,
in reality, why are you being a jerk to me? He's the one who can't make a decision.
100%. Because people who can make decisions don't care that you can't make decisions.
This is an immature thing where he probably hates it in himself. He hates that he has a decision problem. And then he sees it in you. And then he hates it even more. You know, the things we hate in ourselves, we hate in others.
And I've told him from the top that I'm bad at this, like the beginning of dating. You know what I mean? And that it's hard for me and I struggle with it. And he's really judgmental about my ADHD stuff in general, and that kind of falls into that too. Just like very judgmental. He's unsupportive of mental health. Oh, okay. This was a really bad one near the end of our relationship. So we were in Atlanta visiting my friend, and he's a vegetarian. Fine. And we went out, and I had some, it's called biltong. It's like a South African beef jerky.
Ooh.
I ate some of it at a bar, and then we walked out, and I went to hold his hand, and he goes, "Don't grab my hand with your dirty little sausage fingers." And I was like,
squeeze
what? And he's like, well, you just like touch that like oily stuff, whatever, go wash your hands. And I'm like, seriously? And he was serious. He's going to the bathroom anyway. And then we walk out. I'm like, that was crazy. And he goes, I don't think it's crazy. It'd be just like if I ate nuts, you know, and you probably wouldn't want me to touch your hand.
But
if
you
I
would
ate
die.
Nuts. I would. And I say to him, like, oh, is that the same to you? And he goes, yeah, I think it's the same. I'm like, tell me how it's the same. And he's like, you know how it's the same. I'm like, no, I really don't. Tell me how it's the same. And he goes, it's the same. Like, tell me. It's like, well, I bet if I ate nuts, you wouldn't want me to touch your hand right now. And that's how it's the same. And I was like, okay. And then I was smiling to myself. And he's like, what's so funny? I'm like, I'm so excited to tell my friends about this.
Oh, you're such an asshole.
It's a real bitch. And he's like, well, I was joking. It was a joke. It was all a joke. And I'm like, really? Because I couldn't tell it was a joke.
And it wasn't a joke.
It wasn't a joke. We all know it wasn't a joke. That was crazy.
Are we just through on thing number two?
This is just thing number two, yeah. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. That was just a really big one. Okay, he loved to tell me to calm or chill or relax whenever I was excited. I hated that. He's weird about me eating meat. I was like, when we get together and I eat meat and you don't, how are you going to deal with it in the house? And he was like, well, as long as you just don't have the meat like around. And I was like, what do you mean by around? He's like, you know, just like everywhere. And I'm like, who's putting meat every? Anyway.
Whoops, I left a raw pork chop in the bed.
Like, oh, what? No, I left the ground meat on the table like I always do, just scattered about. He was mean about my expired card lapsing when my cards lapsed, and he was mean about it. He wasn't supportive of my best friendship.
That's a big one.
It's a really bad one. It's a really big, bad one. And he wouldn't play with me. Like we would, when we had jokes, when I wanted to have jokes, he wouldn't have jokes with me.
Gotta have jokes.
Yeah. He wouldn't get in the jokes and he would tell me to chill or calm or relax.
So you're trying to make lovey dovey, cute little fun couple jokes. And he's like, bits. Relax.
Yes.
Get rid of him.
I know. We were at the airport once and there was a guy who got us all stopped because he had a Fresca in his suitcase and he was annoyed that we were all stopped. He made a big deal of it, this guy at the airport. He made a huge deal of it and they found out it was his fault that we got stopped because of the Fresca, and then he switches going, oh, you guys gotta have a Fresca. You ain't never had a Fresca. So the whole time in the airport with my boyfriend at the time, I was making fun of Fresca guy, and he wouldn't have any of it. I'm like, Fresca guy is so funny.
Fresca anyway, guy was wasted on him.
Oh, yeah. I'm so angry that he was the one who was there for Fresca guy.
I wish I was there with Miranda. We would have loved Fresca guy. You we would still be talking Fresca about guy. Fresca guy.
I want to still talk about Fresca guy. Okay. When he met my grandma, my last living grandparent, he didn't really interact with her very much or talk to her, ask her many questions. He was against talking about his exes. Isn't that weird?
A little.
I love talking about exes. I love knowing a person's ex history. And he's like, no, I don't want to talk about that. He was weird about talking about his family. He did a lot of, I think, spiritual bypassing, you know, when people are like, oh, I'm spiritual, so nothing's actually bad. You know, his father passed away during a relationship. And I was like, that sucks. And he's like, no, it doesn't suck. It's normal. It's just what happens. And I'm like, yeah, and it sucks. And he's like, no, it doesn't suck. He couldn't handle any negative feelings and wanted to spiritualize a way out of it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess. I don't have time for that. Okay. Natasha, we're going to come back and get through.
We're doing a break.
We're doing a quick break. And we're going to get through item 7 through 45 on your list.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Oh my goodness, what a refreshing break. It's almost like I didn't just press pause and then resume here with Natasha Bennett, comedian. Who will be featured in Netflix as a joke as the biggest headliner of the whole festival or something like that.
That's me.
You. I'm really excited for you. Now that Just for Laughs was, do you kind of know what happened there? I got the inside scoop from a Canadian comedian.
Ooh, what is the inside? Which comedian?
I don't want to say because she...
It's the inside scoop.
Yeah. Although okay. I'm sure anyone who... I have one comedian who's for Canadian on the show regularly. Not important. They... It's definitely not a woman, yes. Said that it was so poorly managed that they were bleeding money and they owed every vendor and contractor
oh my God.
So much money. And the pandemic and, a couple sponsors pulling out during the pandemic, it was all a house of cards based on so much debt that it just couldn't, it just collapsed. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Hearsay, allegedly. Don't sue me.
No, I believe it. I heard it was money problems.
But Now that festival's gone, I feel like Netflix is a joke, is the festival.
It's the biggest festival, yeah.
I'm so excited for you. You deserve
this. Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm really excited.
And it's not because you're great. It's because you work hard and you've grown your craft. That has made you great.
That's very kind. Those are kind words that are hard to absorb, but I appreciate them.
I kind of came out a little bit negative. I just mean, I hate when people are like, oh, you deserve this because you tried stand-up once and you're amazing. No, you put in the work, and that's why you deserve it.
Thank you.
What's going on?
I started bleeding somehow.
Oh.
I think I knocked something weird and started bleeding.
Are you hitting on me? Because I have a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a blood thing?
I just was being stupid. Do you want to get a bandage?
No.
Okay, you're just free bleeding.
I'm just free bleeding. I'm a free bleeder.
Here's a fun joke me and Miranda have. I mean, she's got a she's got a light flow. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. And, sometimes you just wear the dirty underwear with the light flow and you don't wear a tampon because for whatever reason you don't want to wear a tampon.
I am with you.
Yeah, why not? Normal thing.
I'm with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you had a heavy flow, who cares? It's your life.
I'm a free bleeder.
Yeah, but there's that Tom Petty song, Free Falling.
I know, and I always think that with free bleeding.
Oh, you do? That's just a little joke we used to have. We don't do it anymore, but I just mean, before the break, you were talking about how he rejected perhaps the best little joke possible, which was a guy who held up a line with a Fresca, which is a Mexican soda thing.
Yeah, don't know. You don't see him around a lot, but...
I mean, I see him at the taco place.
We never fried a Fresca.
And so the guy turns to you and he's like, what, you don't like Fresca?
You gotta try a Fresca.
Gotta try even that phrasing is excellent. Okay, we're going through a list of things you hated about this guy.
And I'm trying to get through and skip through, bored ones. He didn't have that many friends. One time we asked him to bring a game to a bar that I loved called Wingspan to meet up with me and my best friend who were there already. And he got to the bar and he didn't bring Wingspan. And then we said, why didn't you bring Wingspan? And he's like, I didn't think it made sense to bring it here. And I was like, why, what, but I asked you to, and he's like, yeah, well, like, I didn't even think about it. And it's like, did you not think about it, or did you decide not to? It felt like a purposeful choice to not bring Wingspan, even though I love Wingspan. Anyway, no ambition or drive, just kind of in any way, no real hobbies or anything interesting, you know, like, about him. Too much free time. He had too much free time.
Did you dump him, or did he dump you?
He dumped me. I know. Isn't that crazy?
He did you a favor, man.
I know. As my mom says, because her English isn't good, I ditched a bullet.
He ditched a bullet, yeah. The bullets were coming at you.
And I ditched them.
And you tossed them in the ditch. Or you crossed enemy lines where they kept all the bullets that they were going to use to shoot you.
Yes.
And then you threw the bullets in a ditch.
I threw them in a ditch. I ditched the bullets.
And then you went back to behind, in front of enemy lines? You went back to where your base was.
Yes,
and then they couldn't shoot you because the bullets have been...
Because they were all in the ditch.
I love that.
Yeah, I love my mom.
That could have been a joke between you and him. Ditch the bullet.
We could have if I had to ditch that bullet, you know?
This idea of rejecting the possibility of fun couple jokes is...
It's crazy.
There's so much underneath that, you know?
Yes.
Because so much positive things go into bonding over
yes,
these...
Yes, it's like a fun rapport, you know?
It's the culture of your relationship.
Yes.
He's uncultured when it comes to relationships.
He is very uncultured when it comes to relationships. Big time. Let's see. He wanted to go sleep at 9:30. He would wake up so early. He wouldn't let me tell people that he was into crypto, even though it's what he did with most of his time. Like, most of his time, he'd be like looking at crypto, reading Discord, whatever, all this crypto stuff. And he's like, don't tell people I do crypto.
What is it? Commit the crime, do the time? Do the crime, do the time? His crime is being annoying and into crypto, and his doing the time is, people are going to make fun of him.
Let people know, but he's like so like into his spirituality bullshit that he's like, I can't that be part of my identity. You know what I mean? He
so
wanted
he
to
likes
pretend that that
stealing money
such,
from
like, a
people.
Bay Area. Yes, he loves it. And then just using it to, I don't know, do more ayahuasca. He made me run. He's a runner. He made me run.
I hate this guy.
Isn't he terrible?
Can't believe. If he wanted you back right now, would you?
No.
Okay.
If he'd want me back the next day, no. I was really relieved when he broke up with me.
Isn't that nice when something awful happens and all you feel is relief?
It felt like the breakup literally felt like doing a Ouija board where you're like, am I touching this or are you touching this? And how is this moving, you know? Because like, so he was here on this couch that I'm sitting on right now one day. He came over, I'd had a tough day in the city, and he comes over and he's like, hey, I feel like we've had a real tough past few weeks. And I was like, yeah, it has been a hard past few weeks. And I was like, what do you think about it? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, what do you want to do about it? And he goes, I don't know. Usually in past relationships, when it's gotten to this point, I keep staying in the relationship long past when I should have.
I thought he doesn't like talking about past relationships.
He doesn't, but I'm surprised he brought it. I'm like, oh, is this a breakup conversation? He's like, yeah, blah, 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 and whatever. Basically, I had to like pull it out of him and go, oh, no, you know.
So chill. He's just way too chill.
Yeah, he is. He's awful. He's really bad.
Just spends his time flipping crypto, bitcoins.
That and running. He's like really into his like physical body and health bullshit.
Did he
have
a job?
He did some kind of like project management line stuff for some consulting company, some big company.
Talk. I've been unemployed a while now. Okay. Anything else fun on the list?
Yeah, there's so much more on the list. Sorry, I thought about the breakup. Okay. You mean to go run? Okay, we were making a pie once, and mostly me, and I peeled these pears for the pie, and I made myself bleed. I hurt myself. And then later, when we brought the pie over to my family, was it hard to make? And I was like, yeah. He's like, it wasn't hard to make. And I'm like, I'm the one who had to peel the pears and make. He's like, I don't think peeling pears is hard. I'm like, I hurt myself. I'm the one who did it. If I say it's hard, it was hard for me. He's like, okay, well, then it's hard for you. Can you believe he said that? Didn't take care of me when I was sick. I had to DoorDash NyQuil myself when I was at his house and I was sick and we had no NyQuil. He was not nice to my friends in LA. He was a jerk about me suggesting therapy. He wasn't empathetic with my health stuff. He wanted to go grocery shopping every day.
Every day?
Isn't that sickening?
Like, and buy what?
Just like fresh stuff every day.
Annoying.
Just fresh vegetables. Yeah, I can barely handle once a week. You know what I mean?
With you, or he would just go alone?
He'd want me to come.
What?
I know, and I get really overwhelmed in grocery stores. Like, I can only handle Trader Joe's because it's small and there aren't a lot of choices, you
I
know?
can relate to that. I cook now, so I don't get overwhelmed anymore, but I've had like panic attacks before I learned how to cook in a grocery store. It's very overwhelming.
There's too many things,
So
and
many.
especially like a Safeway or something where it's like 15 things of the same object,
How
you know
about
what I
someone
mean?
who you know is fussy about groceries says, get a bag of coffee at Safeway, and you're in the coffee aisle and you're staring, and there's 7,000 choices.
I hate it. I'd rather hurt myself. Okay, here's the worst thing, and you're gonna hate this. He made me go only once or twice to these events that he went to regularly called authentic relating events. Have you heard about these?
No, but
Ugh.
it sounds like some cult stuff.
It is some cult stuff. It's terrible. You sit in a circle and just like say how you feel based off of whatever other people said about just like when you said this, it made me feel this because of this the whole time.
And he
And I
refused
was so,
therapy?
yes, he liked to do these instead, which are really just like it's supposed to be like a safe space where you can say anything. And I'm like, it feels like it's just for people to say stuff they shouldn't want to say, they shouldn't normally say. I was tense the whole time because if you give me the format, when you said this, I felt this because of this, my mind goes, oh, we're fighting. You know what I mean? Like, that's the language you only use when you're like fighting with your family or with your partner to try to be careful about what you say. So the whole time I was so tense. It was terrible. I hated it. I don't know why. Well, I know why he has to go to those because he's a little weirdo who like doesn't have any real authenticity or relationship. So
I
yes, to
love this
stand in a
guy.
circle with
I'm gonna.
strangers.
Is he
I
bi? I'm gonna
know.
hit him up.
No, he's straight,
Of course he
supposedly. But
is.
everyone thought he was gay. After the breakup, I asked everyone what they actually thought of him. Half the people were like, I really thought he was gay. So, you know.
Cool. We'll be back with more Natasha Vinnick and mild homophobia.
Mild foam, but just a little bit.
Yeah, just a healthy amount.
Just a healthy amount. Keep it spicy.
In a few moments.
That's not what we're about to do right now, right?
No, what we're about to
Good.
do right now is continue.
The
I'm
real
already
stuff.
rolling.
Okay, we're rolling already.
What we're about to do right now is continue the show.
Okay. We're doing it. I'm
Natasha Vinnick.
Natasha.
Yeah, oh, yeah, here, you want to introduce yourself? Let's see how it
I'm
goes.
Natasha Vinnick. I'm a comedian. I'm going to be on Netflix's joke. This is David Cooper, whose podcast it is. What a pleasure to have me here. Yes, it is a pleasure. Right?
Fantastic. Love it. When I used to do stand up, this is going to sound funny to you. I would never get booked in shows that were good. I was never good enough for shows where they would list the comedians and then in the brackets they put their biggest credit. So for you, I don't know what that credit would be, but maybe now it'll be Netflix as a joke.
It'll be that.
Okay. So I
Yeah.
did one time get booked in a show like that, and there was like
Yeah.
Comedy Central. You know, like somebody did a was an extra and a cut. You know, these weren't
Yeah.
actually big. You know, but one
Yeah.
person had been on Late Night. Maybe it was Fallon, and it was like Jimmy Fallon. And then the person's like, "What's your biggest credit for the flyer?" And I asked him to put absolutely nothing.
Did he
Which
write absolutely nothing?
no, he put
Oh.
the purple onion at Kell's.
Oh, what a bummer.
Yeah.
What a
Which
bummer.
is for those who, and that's everyone, don't know, a crappy room in San Francisco. But I like that idea. Like, you know, just everyone's got their trying to show off, and mine is absolutely nothing. Okay, fine. Not as funny as I thought.
No, I like it.
We were talking about really about your podcast, which was 30 Dates in 30 Days.
Yeah.
You were going to have 30 dates in 30 days, do 30 podcasts about it. Failed
Yeah.
start, not important. You met a guy, you
Yeah.
had. Would you say you had rose-colored glasses?
Yeah, of course. I love getting swept up. Getting swept up is so fun for me.
But he sounds, based on your descriptions, so chill. How could someone that chill sweep you up?
I think he wouldn't acknowledge he has his own like attachment issues and stuff. So I think he moves to the. I mean, even when he brought up the love conversation about like, and this was very early on.
You guys were telling each other you loved each other early on?
He brought up the love conversation. He said, "What do you think about the word love? Blah blah blah." And I'm like, "It's a word I've used, but like, I feel like you're someone." I said this to him, like, "I feel like you're someone who like loves someone, come fix your Wi-Fi, and as they leave, you'll be like, I really love you, man.' You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you're really quick to use love. So wait to use that with me until you're at your like level three of love with me instead of your level one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we gotta have Wi-Fi though. Come on.
Yeah, it's true. We gotta have Wi-Fi. Anyway, yeah, we told each other we loved each other, but it was all a lie.
Was it though? Wasn't it true at the time?
I think I loved the feeling, and there was an intimacy that was fun. But then it just got so bad so fast, you know? I think we just got caught up very quickly. We were just kind of enamored with each other at the beginning. And I think we were both very different from other people we had dated, you know?
Do you miss him?
No, never, not even a little bit. When I think of him in my head, I'm annoyed with how he moves and talks in his face.
And yet he
Never
dumped
got me
you.
a birthday present. Isn't that crazy?
Like nothing, not even a card?
He was gonna get me a jacket, and then he was having a hard time picking the jacket, and then he never got me a jacket.
How long after that did you break up?
He broke up. My birthday's November 3rd, and he broke up with me December 28th.
Happy belated.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. He also never really went down on me. Isn't that crazy?
That's annoying.
Yeah. I hate him.
He just did he give you a reason?
I told you it'd been a tough few weeks. Oh, do you mean about the breakup or not going down
The
on
oral
me?
sex, yeah.
Oh,
I
no.
wanted to ask you a gross question without seeming that gross.
No, because I didn't. I don't know. It's too scary to bring up, like, why don't you go down on me? You know what I mean? I just didn't.
Just push his little weird head down. No.
Oh, I'm not really a
You're not a head
pushable, weird
pusher?
head down type. No, that's scary because I would hate if someone did that to me.
I don't mean like forsibly, like,
What
I just mean like a,
do
like if there's a little kid in front of you in a line who's in your way, you just kind of, push the kid aside. I don't know why I had to bring little kids into this. I just mean like, or like my cat's on my, he jumps up on my chair and I'm like, that's annoying. And I just kind of push him off the chair.
Okay, yeah.
Gentle nudge,
A
gently
gentle
nudge.
nudge, but instead of off, it's towards.
I see what you mean. If men do that to women, it's a bit much.
Oh yeah, I hate it. I've told guys, like, don't touch my head for that reason or I will shut down.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if the person's welcoming it and it's discussed
Yeah.
beforehand, whatever, but just out of the
Obviously,
blue, it's
but
a bit of a wild
not my
move.
jam. So no, I never guided his head towards there
But
in
what
an
about just
attempt
saying
to let him
I'm
know.
in to oral sex when you're not like in the moment? That way it's not going to
I think
be.
I told him early that I liked it, and I don't know. He just, like, it felt like he never really tried.
I feel like you shouldn't have to tell people that. You should have to tell them the opposite. You should be like,
I
hey,
agree.
bro, I'm just actually, I know you might want to do it, but it's not for me. So just like, only if I say
Yeah.
so. I feel like it should be assumed that you like it. Who doesn't like that?
I agree with you. Listen, we're on the same page here. You and I were aligned.
Never?
We are aligned. Would he never? Maybe he did once, twice at most, but I really don't have any recollection of that happening.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. In his defense, he's a vegetarian.
I'm just, and still, you were like, that's not a red flag.
I think there were red flags popping up, but I don't know. I think I was overwhelmed with my life at that point, so it wasn't like, let me figure out the next thing to blow up. You know what I mean? Like, let me just
That
keep doing what
doesn't,
I'm doing.
you can just have the simple conversation so it doesn't get out of hand. Doesn't that then turn every time you have sex into something like annoying? Like, oh, he's not.
Yeah, I think we had kind of, I want to say the last month, maybe we had stopped having sex. I had gotten sick, and then we had traveled to, like, my grandma's house. We weren't gonna have sex there, and then went to my best friend's house. We didn't have sex there, and then we got back, and
Broke
yeah,
up.
maybe the last 3 weeks we didn't have sex, which was also the tough. I think sex was, like, yeah, it was rough.
Sounds rough.
It was a rough relationship.
Netflix is a joke.
Netflix is a joke,
What happened? You,
baby.
they came and saw you audition? You go to LA and audition? How does that work?
The Netflix people had seen me at a festival in Atlanta called Laughing Skull.
They reached out to you?
They reach out to me months later, being like, "Hey, will you audition for us at this
Pretty
for the Netflix?"
good. Usually it's the other way
Netflix.
around. Usually
I
people are
know.
hustling to get in front of these people.
No, it was nice. They asked me to audition, and I auditioned in LA in January, and then heard back, I think, within the week, which was crazy.
Wow. Am I going to see you on Netflix or it doesn't work like that?
I wish. No, I think there's one show that actually they filmed for the Netflix series, but I don't think it's the one that I'm on. I
Are they going to shoot your spot though?
don't know. I doubt it. Because they have over 300 shows they're doing as part of that festival.
Ah, I see. I see.
It's a big, big festival.
I know. It's the heir apparent to the Just for Laughs fortune.
It is. It is.
Or debt. Well, it's excited. I mean, when is it?
May 2nd through 12th.
Are you nervous?
Not yet. It's not real yet. It won't be real till maybe I land in LA.
How long are the spot or spots?
I don't know. I know almost nothing yet. I finally got booked on my second show. I might get booked on up to 3 shows there. Mm-hmm. One is going to be with Mike Glazer. And one's going to be with Irene, too, who I think you know, too.
Not well.
Not well. Yeah. So I'm excited.
Sounds exciting. I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe I'm not going to be in LA in May.
Don't lie. You don't have to lie to me.
Well, I want to go to LA.
I know.
I've been meaning to. My friend's got a place there. He'd let me stay there. It's easy. It's cheap.
You should go.
I know.
I should go. I'll go.
There is something I wanted to talk to you about, but we'll do it next time you're here, which I'm hoping you might be willing to do more regularly than once every 6 months.
I'm willing. Absolutely.
We used to do this every week.
I know. It was a different time. Oh.
But you got paid.
I'm not just talking about the guy that I'm dating much, but I want to tell you that his mom loves Jim Richards.
Are you joking me?
No.
How does she know about him?
They're from Canada. They're all from Canada.
Are you out of your mind?
No.
Does she know that you, like, and him are buddies?
I told him, and I sent him a text for her.
I'm going to ask you a question. The answer is going to be no, and I'm going to be crushed. Did she know about me?
I didn't ask, but probably not.
Well, I'm on Jim's show every night.
Okay, then let me ask. I'll ask her if she knows.
But she's going to be like, I hate that guy.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't. She wouldn't.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Isn't that wacky? That's so funny.
I'm going to tell Jim. Did you already tell him?
I already texted him yet. And he's kind of like, haha, you should come to Toronto or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. He's Jim.
I love Jim.
The thing I want to talk to you about is, because I had a friend who is very employable, like a senior director at all these tech companies. He quits his job a few months ago thinking, oh, it's going to be so easy to find a new one. And all of a sudden, he's heard nothing back from anybody. And in the back of my head, I'm like, well, this is a career I left. And in the way I remember it is, it's easy. And now not so much. And I know you're having struggles. And that's what we're going to talk about next time.
Okay. Yeah. It's bad.
Great. Great teaser. There's your soundbite. It's bad. Natasha, who can be found at natashavinnick.com.
That's me.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Bah!
Bah!
Okay. Coming up, it's the moment you have been waiting for. The moment I will confess how long it's been since I've been to the gosh darn goddamn dentist. I'm going to confess this to my friend Gary Dierenfeld. He's here for therapy Thursdays on a Friday. He's a social worker and he knows therapy. And from that, a conversation about the vicious cycles that we get into when we don't take care of ourselves. So stick around for that. I am here with Gary Dierenfeld, an expert in family and marital therapy and a social worker. Did I get your introduction right? I haven't done your like official introduction in a long time.
That's good. That's who I am. I'm a social worker by profession. Some would say an all-around nice guy.
And your website.
Some would say not a nice guy.
me included. Total jerk. No, your website's kind of misleading because it's yoursocialworker.com, but you're not everybody's.
Well, that's my ego, so maybe I'm narcissistic as well. Everyone seems to have a touch of that. So maybe I am everyone. I'm happy to be everyone's social worker. That's why we do these shows.
Exactly. Whatever. Who cares? Not listening. The reason I'm not listening is my tongue is railing across my bottom teeth right now. They feel odd because I got some dental fillings, which doesn't seem like it's a good topic for conversation about therapy with you, but it actually is, because I had not been to the dentist before this recent bout of now 3 appointments in how many years, Gary?
I'm afraid to guess, but I'm going to say more than 5.
Yes, correct. Double that, 11 years.
Oh, man.
You know, my dentist died. I moved countries, and so I never got a new dentist. And then after a year or two, And then it's like, oh, it's been so long. Am I going to have a cavity? I don't want to deal with this. And then the procrastination means you don't deal with it. But by not dealing with it, it's going to get worse. And the worse it gets, the more you don't want to deal with it. And finally, after tons of guilt from my girlfriend, I decided to go. And I really deserve shame on this one because I remember early in my life, when I was in my early 20s, I shamed my ex-wife into going to the dentist because she hadn't gone for maybe like a year and a half. And I was really on her case in my early 20s. And I was on my high horse. And then Lo, and I guess, you know, what is it? You give the best advice when you know you're bad at taking it yourself. I think that's what that
those
was.
Those who can't do, teach.
So I guess apologies to my ex-wife, who definitely is not listening to this. But yeah, I finally went and they told me, for someone who hadn't been 11 years, my teeth were surprisingly good, but I still had a cavity. I just had it filled, and I got a couple others, but they're not high, a high priority to fill, so maybe I'll do that in a few months.
Let me just tell you this. We moved about 6 years ago. I loved our dentist where we were living, a couple hours away. And, you know, full disclosure, I don't trust dentists.
I want a dentist who's a little bit sadistic, because you have to be in that job. And if you're a little sadistic seeming, you're honest.
But private healthcare, they can tell me anything. And how the hell would I know? Right?
Yeah.
So I'm not a trusting patient in private healthcare. I worry about extra billing. I worry about services that may not be necessary. So Six or so years ago, we moved away. I still drive an hour and a half to 2 hours once or twice a year to see my old dentist.
Oh, well, I live in the U.S. There's no public health care.
There are dentists. I don't have insurance, so I'm paying out of pocket. There are dentists in the community where I live, well-regarded, well-respected, and yet, look at me, I'm doing this crazy drive. So, and that's not just the fear of dentistry. That's the fear of private healthcare for me. David, 10 plus years.
I know.
Seriously.
I don't necessarily want to talk about this specifically, although we can. It's more about vicious cycles of not taking care of ourselves. Maybe it's your cardiovascular health. You're going to take a run tomorrow. Tomorrow came and went. I'm in bad shape. I don't want to run. It's going to hurt my chest. And because it's going to hurt my chest, I don't want to run. And I don't want to run because it's going to hurt my chest. Or I'm overweight I don't want to run because I'm overweight. It's too much work. The vicious cycle of not taking care of ourselves is real for everyone in some way.
Full disclosure. People who know me are aware that I had a quadruple bypass almost 2 years ago. I lost a good chunk of weight, 25-ish pounds, and I've gained back 15 of those pounds. People know me again. I hate exercising. So, you can do this and you can do it that way. You can do these things and that. No, I don't like exercising. Yet, here I am, finally, back on the treadmill, starting a little easier because I'm out of shape again, 15 minutes twice a day for the last week. But I get it, these vicious cycles where we're supposed to do something for our own good. We stop doing it, and then the words inside our head that give us permission to, in a sense, continue against our own good.
Yeah.
It is... I'm a social worker. I'm trying to teach and preach this stuff. I'm just as guilty as you or anyone else. And so I want people, you know, I started by saying maybe I'm a narcissist. I want people to know that I was born human too. And I can appreciate what you're telling me, not, you know, for yourself, not having been to the dentist, and how difficult it is to get back into the rhythm of managing things like our health.
Yeah. It's funny. Anyone can fall into this trap. And there's an associated trap. I'm an alcoholic and I don't drink. And I have fallen into the trap. I see drinking as this sort of negative act where I'm a piece of you know what if I drink. I'm a bad person if I drink. I'm self-destructive if I drink. And so in the past, not in my most recent bout of sobriety, I've had a drink. I've broken the sobriety. I was sober for 6 months before my current iteration, which is almost 5 years, but and I went to Ireland, and side note, don't go to Ireland if you have a drinking problem. They do like whiskey there, I found out. But regardless, when you fall off the horse, you're like, oh, I'm a bad person, I drank. So because I did it yesterday and I'm a bad person, I'll do it again today because I'm a piece of you-know-what, and I'm going to continue to be a piece of you-know-what, so I'll just keep. And these vicious cycles of we've had some negative behavior, and that justifies continuing it.
Yeah.
Or not starting the corrective action. And then by not starting it, it further justifies, like, you know, it's a vicious cycle.
I want people listening to this program to know that all of what you and I are discussing is within the realm of normal. Normal doesn't equal that it's good for us. Okay. If there is a habit that you've either gotten into or fallen off of, and you need to do the reverse of that, there are ways to, in a sense, get back on the horse. Mm-hmm. And some of those ways include being transparent, sharing that information with someone else so that you are no longer living the lie or living the secret, gaining the support of another person. You know, my wife looked at me last week and said, we got to walk. I looked at her like, damn you. I love you. Damn you. So she actually initiated it. We got out for a walk and we've been doing it since. So to have the support of someone else in your life, to share the information with someone, these are some of the most easiest of strategies to implement to help you get going again. Let the secret out of the bag. Secret perpetuates wrongful behavior.
Yeah.
Secrets perpetuates wrongful behavior. The degree to which it's no longer a secret, it's hard to continue in the behavior.
And I find, as I talk about the cycle of drinking, where you start, and because you started, you're no good, and because you're no good, you may as well continue.
Yes.
A way to deal with that, and honestly, this works for my dental problem as well, not going to the dentist. Just today, no matter where you're at, no matter how much you've procrastinated, no matter how long you've procrastinated, forgive yourself. Don't see yourself as this person unworthy of change, unworthy of help, that people are going to judge. Like, forgive yourself for letting it get to this point. Tomorrow's another day. Later this afternoon's another afternoon. You can get started.
And the other piece to that is you only need to get back on the wagon, so to speak, once. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow's another once. And the day after that is another once. So often we overwhelm ourselves with where we have to go, that we don't go anywhere. It's a paralysis.
I feel that way about radio. Sometimes I overwhelm myself with where I should go in a given segment, that we go nowhere at all. Of course, not with you, Gary. Let's come back after a break and keep going with this.
Okay.
All right, we're back with Gary, and he's coughing himself to death. Hopefully he doesn't, expire during this interview. Before we started talking, we planned what we might cover, and you suggested the topic of, quote, having difficult conversations and why it's important, to which I responded, kind of vague, Gary. What's an example of a difficult conversation? And you went hardcore. You said, having the conversation that states, I don't love you anymore, I want to leave you, which is a tough one.
That's a difficult conversation.
So I was thinking, there are times in life where we do something kind of awful, kind of cowardly. Maybe it's we lied to our spouse about not quitting smoking, quitting drinking. Maybe we gambled away our down payment for a house. Maybe you had an affair. You've done something extremely cowardly, and now you need to do the exact opposite. You need to stand up with integrity and have that difficult conversation and tell your loved one what's really going on so that it doesn't continue to spiral out of control. The only problem, Gary, and it's a small one, how do you have conversations like that?
Well, first of all, let's start out by many of these conversations are necessitated because a person has a secret. Mm. And secrets create poor health. And I'm not talking about physical health, although it can be that, quite frankly, but I'm talking about mental health. Secrets can be very distracting. They're worrisome. What happens if they get out beyond our control? How are we going to manage them? And when we're holding secrets from people who are important to us, especially, it gets in the way of the relationship. It's the antithesis, the opposite of creating intimacy. So if you want intimacy, and heck, you may not want intimacy, you may want out of this relationship, but if you want out of the secret, eventually you have to have that challenging or difficult conversation. And it can start with, I need to have a very difficult conversation with you. Do not start with, hi, how was your day? Where you're beating around the bush and the person in front of you wonders, what are you dancing about? Mm-hmm. Okay, so be forthright. I need to have a difficult conversation with you. Don't set it up such that, and it'll be next Thursday at 2 o'clock, because now you're leaving this person on tender hooks, whatever the time is in between.
Yeah, remember when you were a kid and your parents are like, we're going to have a discussion about it tonight. And you're like, whole school day's ruined.
Exactly. So you want to know that you can approach this person privately, very important, when you have time to spare. So it might be after dinner, the kids have been put to sleep. You approach the person and you say, look, I need to have a difficult conversation with you. Can you please come here? In all likelihood, they're going to. They may be very worried. You're going to put them to ease very quickly by telling them the nature of the issue. Now, the nature of the issue may be unsettling, but at least now they know what they're grappling with. Look, I've been very unsatisfied in a relationship, and I have been contemplating leaving. We need to do something. Or maybe you've already left, you know, emotionally. Then you're going to acknowledge that. The key is to not deliver the information in such a way that it's through anger or with an agenda to blow the other person out of the water. You want to appreciate that they're going to pay attention to the message you are delivering, not the way you deliver it.
What if the party you're delivering the information to gets really upset and you can't offer everything you wanted to say? Are there any strategies to deal with that?
Yes, be patient with this person. So there may be only so much information this person can take in at once. They may lose their mind. I was going to use a different word. They may lose their mind over it. You have to remain calm and, in a sense, give them permission to feel and process whatever it is they're feeling and processing. You have to appreciate that because this is your information to deliver, you've already been contemplating this for hours, days, weeks, months, maybe even years. You've had the opportunity to process the information. The recipient has not. And so their experience is the rug is pulled out from beneath them. They may have anger, they may have fear, they may have anxiety, they may have depression, all the result of the information shared. So give them that space. Then you can come back to them and say, look, I know what I had to say was very overwhelming. I still have a bit more to say. Are you in a place where we can talk some more? You want to be, in a sense, gentle, even though the information is hard. Okay? You want to show some compassion, even if you really don't like this person. And the reason you're putting this much work into your delivery, again, is so that they can concentrate and manage the message and have an opportunity to process it and maybe even problem solve with you.
suppose I gambled away, like, or I took a second mortgage out on the house and I gambled it all away. How do I work up the courage to start the conversation? Like, how, if it's something I've been procrastinating and I know by talking about it with my loved one, it's going to change everything. They may want to leave me. It may tear up a family. How do I get the courage to actually share this information rather than just putting off another day, continuing to have the affair, continuing to hide the money, whatever it is?
By realizing most secrets have a way of finding themselves out. And so you want to be in charge of the release of the secret. You don't want it to happen by happenstance, by accident, by a third party. You want to be in control of the message you deliver.
So it's better to tell your wife about it before the mistress comes and knocks on the door and tells her kind of thing.
Honest to goodness. You know, I've worked with so many people where that's exactly how somebody found out of the affair. It was the person, the subject to the affair, that came and disclosed the information.
Or better to tell the husband that you might lose the house because of your gambling problem than to have the bank knocking on the door with a warden or a sheriff trying to repossess the house or something.
Correct. If you have thought it through and if you have contemplated some solutions, after you've delivered the problem statement, you can share, and here's what I'm prepared to do or not do, or here's what I've thought about, and or here's what I think we should be doing. I realize that this is a lot to take in, and after you've had an opportunity to take it in and feel whatever you're feeling, you may have some thoughts in terms of how you want to proceed as well. And you have to appreciate that the outcome you are seeking may not be the same outcome the other person is seeking. That's why we have these difficult conversations, so that we can walk it through and figure out what's going to happen next for all persons.
Got it. Do you recommend the help of professionals when it's really bad?
If someone loses control of themselves such that they pose a danger, a risk to themselves or to you, do not hesitate to get help. You know, I have had some of these difficult conversations at family court in the anteroom, the room outside of the courtroom, where there's an opportunity to meet privately before and after having seen the judge. Sometimes we choose to have those conversations there because there is security in the courthouse. So depending on your concern with the person, you can structure it that you have this conversation in a place that might provide for greater safety, like the courthouse, or a coffee house, or, you know, somewhere outside. So it's not unreasonable to consider the location, but to also consider matters of privacy.
Gary, it is never a difficult conversation with you. Thank you, as always, for your time.
I appreciate having been able to have this kind of conversation and share this information with people. This is of value.
After all, you are your social worker to everybody. You can find Gary online at yoursocialworker.com. Gary, thanks again.
Bye-bye.
All right, that wraps up another one. Happy Friday, happy weekend of all the shows I've done today. Definitely one of them. And this is going well, I think.